I love traveling with my mom. I'm grateful for the experience. And I also love to travel alone.
Yes.
But I will say, before that, I traveled alone for extensive periods of time and in places that I did not know the language. And it can get very lonely. To have a buddy is very nice. To have a buddy to chat with, to figure out where you're eating together, to watch your bags while you go to the bathroom, simple things like that is so nice. The worst is when you're traveling with somebody and you're like holding in grudges that are building up. That's the worst.
Welcome to List NV, the podcast that takes the road less traveled. I'm Mark Steadman, and every week I bring on a guest, and together we collaborate to build a top five list on a topic they choose. This week, my guest is Arielle Nissenblatt, seasoned traveler and woman about podcasting, and together we are building our top five list of ways to enjoy a new city while solo traveling.
In December, I went to Guatemala with my sister, and we had an amazing trip. We were actually very good travel buddies. We didn't really have much to fight about, which was lovely. And what I really liked about Guatemala was that we did a combination of city and not city. City and rural, city and beautiful lake, city and hiking, things like that. And it was just we figured out the balance of that really well. And I mean, it was too hot. We were sweaty. There's a balance here.
Yeah.
I really liked Costa Rica. I also went to Costa Rica almost two years ago. And I love a beach. I love swimming. It doesn't even have to be a beach. It just has to be a place where I can immerse myself in water. My favorite body of water is a river. I love a river. I could have done that top five bodies of water. And I would have had a lot to say about that, but, love a river. I guess I really liked Guatemala. We went to Lake Atitlan, and it is the third largest lake in Guatemala, deepest lake in Guatemala, I believe, but it is so cool and historical and has such an interesting culture surrounding it, different villages that all have different personalities. We did a Spanish immersion for a week and we lived with a family, and it was a really cool way to sink into a city.
I should like to go. I think the only thing I know about Guatemala is it was mentioned in The Usual Suspects.
Hmm.
As a fake place that I can't really give away. It's not exactly a spoiler, but like the anyway, it doesn't matter.
I'll take it. I'm not going to watch it.
I appreciate your candor.
Somebody might though, and they might be pissed at you.
We are talking about top five ways to enjoy a new city while solo traveling. What is your number one pick?
My favorite way to enjoy a new city or place while traveling solo is to sign up for a free walking tour.
Yes.
It's the best. I just search free walking tour and then enter the name of the city. And there's a bunch of companies that do them. Guru Walks is one of them, Free Tour. And then there's different companies, Sandman Tours. There's a few that pop up that just are in every city. But then there's also individuals who will sometimes do tours like that. You can also look at Airbnb. Airbnb, usually you have to pay. But if you are looking for a specialty tour of some sort, then Airbnb might be a good way to go. Airbnb's experiences. But I have had some of the best, full-on best experiences traveling while on walking tours in different cities. Some that stand out to me, the tour that I did of Amsterdam, when we started, it was a big group, 40 people, and the guy went up to each person individually and said, "What is something that you want to learn today?" And he said, "I know enough about the city that I can tailor this and I will point to you when this thing comes out." And he did. And it was amazing. Like people are like, "Oh, I loved Amsterdam because of X, Y, and Z." And I'm like, "I loved Amsterdam because of Neil, the tour guide."
That's wicked.
Yeah.
You've run some as well, haven't you?
I have done not quite historical walking tours, but I've done, I did tip to tip in Manhattan. So I walked from the top of Manhattan to the bottom of Manhattan with a bunch of people, picked up people along the way, let go of people along the way, and sort of publicized where our stopping points were going to be so that friends could pop on and hop off. And I actually did print out historical things along the way so that we could be like, in this place in 1864, this thing happened. So that was really cool. And I do have dreams of being a tour guide when I grow up. And when I grow up, who knows when that'll be. But you have to take a whole test. And I'm not opposed to it. I might do it. I just forgot about that dream until I recently went on a tour. And then I was like, oh, I would love to be a tour guide.
I've only done a couple. And one I did when I was solo traveling was in Stockholm in Sweden, and I had to do it because it was all to do with the girl with the dragon tattoo, which I am a stan of, I believe the kids would say. It was slightly lackluster, and the way it ended, it was semi-official in that it was set up by a museum, and we went into the museum and they'd created a little exhibit and a little area where you could sit and have your photo taken. And when I say exhibit, it was like a school project where they'd taped some fake, because the story is slightly themed around a magazine, and so that you could sit in their mock-up of the magazine office, which was just this drab room where they'd literally just tacked a few mocked-up images of the magazine, and you could sit at a desk, and I think it said Millennium behind it, which is the magazine, and it was just a bit ropey, just a bit rubbish. But I did get to see some stuff, and I did learn a few things, that Stockholm is an archipelago, and that one of the characters in the book who was a boxer was real, which I never knew. And I thought that was weird that the author just wrote in a real boxer into his fictional story.
So, sometimes you have to have grains of truth in order for people to believe it.
I guess so.
I had a question for you about that. So you went on this tour. And that was it free?
No, it was not. No. I did have to
because
pay
that's
for it.
A specialty tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, these walking tours, my number one way to travel, they are free, but you should be tipping. And usually at the beginning of the tour, the tour guide will say, you know, these are free. And at the end, you decide how much this was worth to you. And I did a tour in Antwerp with my mom just last week. And she was like, how do people decide what they're gonna pay? And our tour guide was so great that we gave her a really nice tip. But it's kind of based off of the idea that some college students, some university students will give like €5, and then some will give like, and then some fancy people will give like €100, and most people will give somewhere in between. And it's a nice balance, and I think it's a beautiful way to see a city.
Absolutely, that's a lovely pick. My first is, this is advice that I sort of only really developed, I think it was last year or the year before, and I started sort of applying it, and I find it very rarely steers me wrong, and it's follow the music.
Mm.
So
that's nice.
Yeah, whenever you're out, wherever you are, and the first time I really did this was in Brighton, and it was... it might have been a couple of years ago, and I'd not long landed. I was waiting for my hotel room to be ready, and so I just had to sort of wander around for a bit, for like an hour. And I sat on the beach, and I just heard some music, live music coming from somewhere. I was like, that's left. I'm going left, and I'm just going to walk until I find the music. And there was like a little mini thing going on. There was a guy had a backing track, and he was just he had a backing track, but he also had an acoustic guitar, and he was just singing. And it was in this outdoor bar, and I got myself a cider, and I sat down and I listened to him sing, and I gave him a tip, because this was 2022, and you can now, you know, buskers now have card readers. So I chip and pinned my tip to him. And it's, I did the same when I was showing some friends around Stratford-upon-Avon last year, home of Shakespeare. Yeah, that's it. And we heard something, and it was like, we've got a little bit of time before we go to the next thing. What should we do? And we heard this busker, and we just followed the music. And my friend, Brendan Hutchins.
Yes. from a million years ago in podcast land.
Absolutely. He bought a CD off the guy, and it was just, you know, there's just lovely things happen like that. I mean, Venice 2007, I remember walking across a bridge with some friends and just hearing this busker and absolutely falling in love with his rendition of Vincent by Don McLean on the guitar. He just played this solo acoustic version of Vincent, and it was beautiful. And, so follow the music.
Follow the music. That's beautiful. I didn't have cute little sayings for mine.
No.
I appreciate
that's
that.
That's not necessary. But it has been, you know, it has been my little, if I ever grow up to be, I mean, I'm an uncle now, and if I get to the point where I can give advice, that will be my first piece of advice, is if you're in a strange city, follow the music. Yes. What is your number two?
My number two is personal to me, but I think that it will resonate with some people. Go to a vegetarian restaurant.
Ooh.
Do you want to know why?
I'd love to know why.
Because no matter where you are, the vegetarian cuisine is either going to be that cuisine in vegetarian form, or it's going to be like typical vegetarian vegan fare. And either way, you are going to get an interesting melting or melding of that city. And it's usually people who are not quite outsiders in that city, but people who are looking to create a new culinary experience for the people that are either visiting, or a lot of times it's locals, because people who are visiting usually want the cuisine of that city, but the vegetarians, people who are usually going to be locals who are going to a vegetarian place for dinner. So I always try to go to a vegetarian place. You can see people just going about their day, eating regular food, going out to dinner. but also because vegetarian restaurants, depending on what, you know, if they're $2 signs, $3 signs, whatever, usually have some sort of like community activities a lot of the time. And they'll have some sort of poster that talks about all the activities that are going on. And those activities are usually not tourist activities. So I love a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah, I will take that advice. I go to a, I've got my third one coming up this year, a sort of business festival for business hippies in the southeast of England. And I think it's the southeast. And it is the first year I went, it was vegan food. And then the second year it was vegetarian. And I have had the best sausages of my life at this vegetarian caterer. Absolutely wonderful.
I've never had a vegetarian or vegan sausage, honestly, because they kind of freak me out because they look so much like real sausages.
It's probably better for you than, because it wasn't like Beyond Meat. It wasn't one of those weird things. I think it was probably just mostly beans, and beans are great. So yeah. But it was mentioned the first time when it was just vegan food that perhaps there might be some elements of the diet that would enable people to have slightly more consistent stomach behaviors.
This is such a diplomatic way to say it helps you shit.
Yeah.
I can say it. You can't. This is your podcast. Yeah. I'm just visiting.
Absolutely. Lovely. Okay. My number two is to get lost.
Get lost.
Find yourself lost is, that's a fun thing to do. Especially, and I've got we may not get to it, so I've got it for my honorable mentions as a safety net for that, because obviously you don't want to get so irreparably lost or irrevocably lost that you know it becomes
a
problem.
In danger.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, going somewhere where you're not quite sure and allowing yourself some time, I think, to do that, some free time to be like, I'm just going to wander. I don't really know where I am. I'll figure out how to get my way back. But for now, let's just, you know, see what's around. I mean, even when I moved into, so where I am now is an area that I was sort of fairly familiar with anyway, but my previous place, I just ended up doing that because I was like, I don't really know what's around here. And I don't quite know exactly how to get back to my flat. So I'm just going to, as I would say, bimble. I've been lost. I've been left behind. I've had some moments. I used to get lost a lot as a kid. And you meet people sometimes who can help you. And you get to see, you know, how sometimes how a city functions, or you might see things that when you're not looking for them can be unexpected little gems.
I have definitely gotten lost in, I would call it chaos. Being manageably lost is something beautiful that you can do in a city. So I think knowing where the main roads are and wandering off of those main roads and knowing how to get back is great. You know, obviously depends on how big the city is or the place that you're visiting. But I think knowing some key phrases is important if it is in a different country with a language that you are not super familiar with. But yes, I have definitely gotten lost. One time I was in Iceland and I got off at the wrong glacier, which sounds insane. And I had to like tap on some policeman and ask him if he would drive me to the next glacier. And I took a risk there, but he said yes. And so I think being manageably lost, ultimately knowing where you can be safe is an important thing to keep in mind if you plan to get lost. But I do endorse this number two of yours.
Thank you kindly. What is number three for you?
Coffee shops. And I don't mean chains. I mean, look for the local roaster. And this is similar to the vegetarian restaurant recommendation. It comes from the idea that, again, coffee shops are often gathering points and often places where intellectuals or business people come together for meetings, but it is often not a tourist spot. So going to outside of the main square, way beyond outside of the main square, going to a different neighborhood and looking for a local coffee shop with fair trade coffee usually is going to mean that it is community founded and community oriented. And again, we'll have activities, sometimes events at night, sometimes music during the day, sometimes music at night. But also often there will be a bulletin board with activities that you can scour for things to do.
I like and endorse that. I am guilty of finding comfort in not just the chains because I know the chains or like I know what I'm going to get. It's more like I know how to order the thing.
Yeah. Americano, por favor.
Yes, I am far too sensitive to embarrassment, even in tiny little ways. I mean, there's been times where I've wanted to run away from a situation because I thought I'd seen like, oh, you have a sandwich there. I'd like that sandwich. And they're like, we don't sell that, sir. And I'm like, instantly terrified.
Yeah, I get that.
So yeah, but I think that's great. And I thoroughly endorse this, even if I'm not brave enough. Now where do I want to go?
Are you amending as we go based on my recommendations?
I am a little bit. I'm looking at my list and I'm thinking. Because I've got something similar actually. So number three, we have already discussed, which was taking a walking tour. But I think for my number, my new number three, I think I'm going to go with meet up with an acquaintance.
Ooh, I didn't have that, but that's a really good point.
Yeah, I'm using the word acquaintance advisedly here because they might not be an actual friend. They might just be someone, you know, like the internet is such a wonderful way that you can sort of know someone enough that you can be like, you know, maybe you met them once or you've spoken to them online and they're like, oh, next time, you know, anytime you're in X place, come and see me. Take people up on that offer.
I do. I usually do.
Yeah. It's
hopefully they don't say it unless they mean it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I guess you'll know once you land and you're like, hey, I'm here.
Right. If you get a response. Coffee.
Oh, no. But yeah, so one of my favorite examples is when I was in New York. I actually did this twice in consecutive days, I think, where there was a guy I sort of knew. He was a local to me in Birmingham in the UK, but he'd moved out to Brooklyn some years before. Or some years, hence, whatever. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you're in London. We should hang out. I don't think I'd... And I will apologize to Al should he listen. I don't remember us ever really hanging out in person. I just remember him being someone that I knew from the internet. And I went out to Brooklyn. I was staying in Miami. So, Miami?
Manhattan.
I was staying in Manhattan.
I was going to be like, that's a commute.
That's a bit of a commute. I got off in Brooklyn, walked, you know, not very far, and met him in this tiny little brewery, like a microbrewery. And he extended me just, like, we just had such a lovely night. And it was one of those wonderful, easy company. You know, we drank some beers. We might have smoked some hand-rolled something or others. And I went back to my hotel just feeling like that was lovely, you know, and I got to see, you know, Brooklyn, which felt like, in a weird way, kind of felt like home.
Especially when you have a buddy.
Yeah. And it was just one of those great nights. And so, yeah. And then the next night I met someone in a steakhouse who I'd never met before, but who was the fiance of one of my friends, from back home. And what was fun there is they were not affianced yet because he hadn't proposed. It was going to be a surprise. He was flying in the next day, and he was going to propose. But she was having a few friends around to a steak restaurant. And so I did all my walking tour and saw the Statue of Liberty and was on an open bus tour and all that stuff. And then went out to the steakhouse and,
what a day, packed.
It was a great day. I think I got something at a food stand. You know, I felt like I'm getting the experience here. It's in fact, one of my items on my list was like find a local food cart. So that, you know, that's a bit of a bonus throw in there, but yeah. Meet up with an acquaintance.
That's nice. Yeah. In Belgium just last week, my mom made a point to reach out to her colleague from over 30 years ago. They do not really keep in touch other than LinkedIn. And we ended up spending the day with her in Brussels. And we got to walk around the city and then go back to her house, which is in a part of town that we would have never gone to, sort of a suburb. And it was just such a cool way to experience the city and, I don't know, hang out with somebody that you sort of know. She knew me when I was 2 years old. That is so cool.
What is number four for you?
Atlas Obscura.
Ooh.
Do you know it?
I know the two words in combination, but I don't know what they mean.
Yeah, so it's a publication that is mostly about weird things in places around the world. And I use their search tool. So you can search for a city or you can search for like roadside attractions. Actually, there's another website called Roadside America for America specifically, but Atlas Obscura, you can basically go to their search bar and search for the city that you're in and it'll pick up for you random weird things in that city that are just quirky that you can see. Sometimes it's full on museums. Sometimes it's like, here is a handprint left over from 1902 of this person. And it maybe is attributed to, like, it's just so random and so interesting. And it'll always take you to a weird part of town that you're just going to, you wouldn't have gone to otherwise. So I always check Atlas Obscura for off the beaten path things. The most recent time I used it was just last week in Antwerp. And the first, I think like the third thing on the list was St. Anna's Tunnel. And what it was there's a river in Antwerp and this tunnel goes under the river. It's a pedestrian tunnel, bikes and walkers. And the cool thing about it is that it's a wooden escalator that takes you down super far and then to this pedestrian tunnel. So there's a wooden escalator on one side, wooden escalator on the other side. And it is not a thing that people know about. Like speaking of acquaintances, when we were in Antwerp, we saw one of my best friend's brothers lives there and he is really into stuff like this and he'd never heard of it. So there's all this interesting stuff that you can find on Atlas Obscura. And also they should sponsor your podcast.
I am downloading this. I'm getting it. I'm checking it. That sounds amazing. Yes. Oh, I love it. Okay. That's wonderful. I've got a related one actually. So I'm going to put it in for my honorable mentions, which is to download City Maps to Go. Because it's less of a thing now, but it might, you know, depending on where you go and what your mobile contract is like, if you want to avoid being charged for 4G or 5G when you're out and about or it doesn't work or whatever, I did this when I went to Austin, Texas for the first time. And I think I did this the second time as well. Just downloaded City Maps to Go. You download the map of the city and then you can use it offline. It still uses your GPS, but that's fine. That doesn't cost you anything. And so it can still find where you are, but you've got the map there to navigate to where you want to go. Big fan of that. I was going to say in New York, it probably wouldn't have helped because the GPS still gets very confused and doesn't know where you are because there are so many tall buildings.
Everything's on top of each other. Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes it makes the compass go haywire as well. But at least you've got the map information there as well. But Atlas Obscura, I love that as just, yeah, let's go check out this weird thing. Perfect. So my next one, which I think will be my because I keep divulging my lower down the list items, but I'm gonna go with Ask a Local. So when a friend and I, so again, it's not a solo thing, but I think it definitely works. A friend and I went to Amsterdam in 2005, I think, and we spent a day doing things you do in Amsterdam that involved keeping our penises where they belonged, you know. So we did other things. And then we did some culture. And then the next day we were like, okay, you know, what are we going to do? And we asked someone at the hotel. We got a plausibly high roll in hotel for
That's
the
fun.
Time we were there. I don't know why we did that, but we did. We rolled high. That's a pun. I didn't mean it to be. We asked the concierge in the hotel, like, what's something we can do? And, somewhere interesting that we can go? And they directed us to a place called Zonsaskans, which I believe is how you pronounce it.
That sounded good to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the key is confidence. You just have to go for it. And it was this beautiful chocolate box village kind of place with little bridges and little windmills, and the whole thing was a little bit like stepping into that cartoon scene in Mary Poppins. It was just adorable and quaint and pretty and just lovely to walk around in. And we were slightly aided, you know, our feet were slightly lightened by whatever things we were carrying with us to continue rolling high. But that aside, it was just beautiful. And we never would have thought to go. It wasn't a tourist destination particularly. But it was, you know, that's the wonderful thing about if you do have a decent hotel, and you can, or just a decent guide, and someone who, you know, who knows a little bit and can direct you to something interesting, I think that's a great thing to be able to do. Needn't be a professional involved in that, but if there's someone around, you can just ask, what's an interesting thing to do? We've got the time, we've got a day, you know, no harm in asking.
Yeah, what would you do with a free afternoon?
Yeah, so there you go. So what is your final pick?
My final pick is to find the body of water, if there is one, if applicable. And I alluded to this before, I love water, either looking at it, being on top of it, immersing myself in it, whatever. I love finding the bodies of water in a city because usually, in many cases, cities have grown up, especially if they're older cities, because of the fact that they are near water, especially old port cities. And I find them to be just a fascinating way to trace how that city came to be. So in a lot of European cities and a lot of old European cities, rivers are super important, has a lot of implications with trade in the past and also still today. So I love bringing myself to that space and trying to figure out what was here 60 years ago, what was here 500 years ago.
I'm annoyed at how good that is. That's so great. I've begun to realize as I get older and understand more about myself and my personality, I find water and nature, I think water especially, to be very just, you know, calming, centering. There's just, in a way that you don't always sort of realize, that's just like, oh, okay, everything's good now, you know? It's yeah. I cycling around a pond, a duck pond, a couple of weeks ago, and it was just like, I'm so happy. And all I'm doing is just cycling around this pond. Using that as a way of, seeking it out, I think is a wonderful thing. And I guess even in the most built up cities, hopefully you can find something, right?
Yeah, usually there's some sort of water, or interestingly enough, there is an area where water used to be.
Ah.
And usually you can tell because there's a pedestrian bridge on top of what is now usually a highway or some sort of walking mall. But a lot of times cities drain their rivers. This happens a lot in Spain, maybe because those rivers they got diverted so that a city could grow up there, or like in Mexico City. Mexico City was built on top of a lake. There's a lot of interesting remnants of water if there's not water in and of itself.
So my, I'm sort of, well, tell you what then, I will go for this one because it was sort of related to what we've talked about, but it's, buy some local street food. So, specifically from, not from a, cafe or a shop, but from a van, you know, a food van. I think you get potentially more interesting stuff. And you know, it's one of those where what you want to do is you want to find the local things. So when I was in New York, you know, I had to get a slice. I had to get a New York slice. When I was in Sweden, I had to get Swedish meatballs and potatoes and lingonberries. And I did that from a van and it was great. When I was in Poland, they gave us pierogies, which are these amazing little dumplings, and I just think anything like that. Like, I'd love to go to Mexico because I've seen so many of the things that they do there. They'll just grab an entire ear of corn and just shove it like into some caramel, or you know, and then throw loads of sugar on it and all sorts of things. Or they'll take a banana and dip it in some stuff, you know. Finding out what is the local thing and that, you know, that can be sort of street foodified, and get some of that in you. Look for it, seek it out, and use that as a way of exploring.
Beautiful. I'm in.
So massive thanks to Ariel Nissen-Blatt for joining me on this episode. You may remember Ariel joined me on the, if you like, season one of List NV to talk about potatoes. It was a very great pleasure to do so. And Ariel and I have sort of been slightly in each other's orbits for the last few years, talking about podcasting, doing podcasting things. It's always a pleasure to reconnect with her. And we actually saw each other briefly for about 5 seconds when we were both at the podcast show in London, but she was busy running from one engagement to another. So it was the briefest of hellos. But when you don't see people that you speak to on the internet, you know, you sort of take what you can get. So coming up then next week, we've got a bit of a, it's not necessarily a special, I mean, it's a great episode. It's a fantastic episode, standard issue episode, but a textbook episode, if you will, much like this one, but coming out on a very, very specific special day, because it is 2 days before the general election here in the UK. So I will be talking about that next week. We are not actually doing politics. We are going to be talking about ways that we can actually make a difference to the world, thinking specifically about the environment in the wake of everything being a mess. And that is with environmental lawyer Rebecca Bratspies. If you are not already a subscriber or a follower to /of the List NV podcast, then what are you doing? Go and make amends. repent and repair. ListNVpod.com is the shortcut that'll get you there, so you can click the relevant buttons to subscribe to the podcast in your app of choice. How are we finding the new sort of intros and the new style? What are we thinking? I want to keep this bit, just you and I, kind of as chill as possible. So I enjoy this. This is a moment for us to just, you know, reconnect and just have a moment. And so I hope that's okay. But yeah, I'm always just trying to keep the show fresh.
Just subtle couple of changes. Probably not as big a change as it seems to me, because I'm just so used to the way I've been doing the show. But, you know, it's one of those things, like I was thinking, do you want to know more about the guest beforehand? You know, do you want to know what their credentials are that makes them the person to talk to about this particular list? You know, I think that's probably useful information. There's something to think about. But if you want to have a chat with me about the show, if you've got any thoughts, questions, feedback, issues, if we got something wrong, I mean, you know, this is a great list. But, you know, if there's something that we forgot or we missed out, mark@hellostedman.com is my email address, and I'm always grateful and happy to receive your correspondence. And I got some from John Hickman, friend, more than friend of the show, also correspondent on List Envy, guest, I should say, that is the word, returning in but a few weeks as well. He's, God bless John, he was left alone on Sunday, and he spent seemingly most of that time listening to List Envy. So God bless you, John. You've done the world a service there, and skewed my download numbers. I can't read all the bits of feedback out, but he had lots of many and varied things to say about where we were wrong and right about a number of topics. So don't feel shy in sharing your thoughts, as long as I can, you know, confine them to one or two episodes, then I shall read them out on air. All right, let us get back. I've waffled at you long enough. Let us return. We've got a very important job to do, in that we are building our top five list of ways to explore a new city while solo traveling. Based on what we've discussed, I've come up with a provisional top five here, and I'm going to run you through it and see what you think. So going from five to one, I've gone with find a body of water, use Atlas Obscura, get vegetarian food, follow the music, and take a free walking tour.
Done. I have no disagreements.
No, fantastic. Well, I will ask you formally then, Ariane Listenblatt, do you consent to this list?
I consent to this list.
Was there anything that you had that we weren't able to mention?
One thing I wrote down, but I put a question mark next to it, is hostels, ?
Oh, okay.
And the reason for that is because they are so hit or miss. Uh-huh. They are sometimes dirty.
Yep.
Sometimes not friendly.
Sometimes you get about £300 stolen from them.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes dangerous. Sometimes they're oriented towards young people, like, and you can't be over the age of like 22 and feel comfortable there. Sometimes it's you can go when you're in your late 20s, early 30s, but that's me just speaking from experience. But then there's music playing all night and maybe you want to sleep. Sometimes they're just dirty, and that's really my number one complaint. But what they do a really great job at is a lot of times having activities for you to participate in. And a lot of times the people who are at hostels are looking to hang out with other people. In Guatemala, there was a big, specifically in Lake Atitlan, there was a big hostel culture. A lot of people made friends that way, and it was really nice.
Yeah, that's not something I realized about hostels. That's quite a cool thing. Yeah,
it really depends, I think, where you are. I think it depends a lot on the weather of the city, because like in Guatemala, a lot of the hostels surround some sort of physical activities. So you can book a lot of tours out of town through your hostel, hikes and other excursions and things like that.
Well, that's cool. That makes me further think that it's blurring the lines between hostel and very cheap, almost capsule hotel. I've definitely stayed in a couple of hotels, both here in London and elsewhere, where they are kind of just, yeah, there's a hotel chain owned by, the company is owned by someone who hosts a successful talk show here in the UK, and his hotel was grotty and kind of unpleasant, and yet I stayed there.
Hell yeah, you did.
I'm cheap when it comes to places that I stay. Like, I think as I get older now, I'm like, no, I think I'm going to spring for the slightly better accommodation.
As you should. It's worth it most of the time.
Ariel, this has been wonderful and educative in so many ways, and I've now got some things to make my exploring of cities more fun, so I appreciate that. What are you up to? Where can people find you and get in touch? Social media is a disparate landscape, but you have all sorts of offerings. How can we enjoy them?
Yes. Follow along with my podcast recommendations and my travel insights here and there. Mostly on Twitter still, Ari this and that. And if you want to get in touch with me, my website is best, ArielNissenblatt.com.
Is that best, ArielNissenblatt.com?
I'm the only... No. My website is best, comma, ArielNissenblatt.com. Can you imagine?
I don't know why I assumed, but
I'm the best ArielNissenblatt there is. I think I'm the only one.
Yeah, no, that's why I enjoyed that so much. we are on a podcast. You also have a podcast.
I do. I have two podcasts. But
of course you have two podcasts.
Yes. One of them is called Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You with Ariel and Ned. Every day, 1 to 2 minute tips that may or may not help your life. And then I also have a podcast about podcast trailers called Trailer Park, the Podcast Trailer Podcast.
That was a flurry of words. Links to everything are, of course, in the show notes. Ariel, this has been an absolute blast. It's so wonderful to have you back. I mean, last time we talked about potatoes and it was just a treat. This time we've broadened our horizons and I feel suitably edified. So thank you for joining me on List Envy.
Thank you for having me and thank you for the challenge.